If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is brought to perfection in us. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. To the person who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other as well. And from the person who takes your cloak, do not withhold even your tunic. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from the one who takes what is yours, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. For if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend money to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners and get back the same amount. But rather love your enemies and do good to them, and lend expecting nothing back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he himself is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as also your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you, a good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Last week, a priest friend of mine made an astute observation about the clergy abuse scandal. He remarked that while the scandal in 2002 focused on the failure of priests in protecting minors, the present scandal zeroes in on bishops and their blunders in both protecting children and in punishing priests. You might say that the bishops are the hierarchy, while the priests are the lowerarchy. Both levels of church leadership have failed egregiously in governing the faithful. The suffix archy means to rule, to govern. Now, it is true that Christians are called to love the sinner, even as we hate the sin. But in the case of the clergy sexual abuse, I'm afraid we have not hated the sin enough. And we have been too eager to love the sinner. Indeed, the ones we have failed to love the most are the victims who have suffered and still do in irremediable ways. Many years ago, I read an insightful essay by C.S. Lewis called "The Trouble with X." He argued that while we work to correct other people's faults, we not overlook our own. Our own faults are the ones we are in the best position to correct, the only ones we can correct. Lewis wrote, "That is the next great step in wisdom, to realize that you also are just that sort of person. You also have a fatal flaw in your character. All the hopes and plans of others have again and again shipwrecked on your character, just as your hopes and plans have shipwrecked on theirs. Speaking of fatal flaws, when I read that line, I felt exactly the same as I did at the end of the movie Sixth Sense, when Bruce Willis finally figures out that he too is one of those dead people that the little boy is seeing and helping. The one single person toward whom we find no difficulty at all in loving the sinner but hating the sin is the one staring back in the mirror, ourselves. And there too we fall short of hating the sin enough. Jesus speaks categorically and clearly about not judging others in the Gospel of Luke. But we should not take our Lord's words too far. Jesus teaches, stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. But Jesus did not therefore mean live and let live, or the trite slogan, I'm okay, you're okay. How relentlessly Jesus excoriated the Jewish leadership, Jewish hierarchy and lowerarchy, scribes and Pharisees, calling them whitewashed sepulchers and dead men's tombs in Matthew 23. In other words, while Jesus loved the sinner, he cannot help himself because he is the love of the Father made flesh, he was merciless on the sin itself. That delicate balance of both judgment and mercy, accountability and compassion, should govern our attitude in approaching the clergy sexual abuse crisis and in assessing our own personal sins and failures. Love the sinner, but truly and tirelessly hate the sin, especially when we find sin in our own hearts. May I ask your prayers for all the victims of this abuse crisis, those for whom we have lacked enough love to take their claims seriously. But I also beg your prayers for the whole church, in particular for the priests and the bishops, the lowerarchy and the hierarchy, that we not love the sinner too much and hate the sin too little. We are enduring a time of profound crisis, to be sure. But it also holds the hope of being a moment of great renewal. We are witnessing the dawning of the awareness that no one is above the law, not even those entrusted with administering the laws of God. Everyone is being held accountable in the court of public opinion, in social media, and in the printed press. But I would suggest to you, like C.S. Lewis urges, even if somehow we shun the court of public opinion, we still drag ourselves into the court of personal opinion. That we be our own toughest critic, our own judge, jury, and executioner, and relentlessly hate our own sins, while we love the sinner looking back in the mirror. And that goes for the hierarchy and the lowerarchy too. Praised be Jesus Christ.